Nice. Good to be here. Welcome. If you're a guest here, it's really good to have you. If you're a guest that's becoming regular, it's really good to have you if you are a regular, as everybody, I think. And it's so good to see so many different faces, so many different smiles, so many different ages. Where else? Where else does God put different ages, different nationalities, different backgrounds of people together? Are you right down there, Cheryl? Just saying hello to her, embarrassing her. Great. We're taking a break from Acts. We've been going through a chunk of the journey of Paul. We're taking a break from it for the next 4 weeks. This week's a one-off. Next couple of weeks, then we're going to be building up to the Easter message. But just introduce myself. So I'm Adrian. I'm one of the team here with Tris and Dave, and we're having a great time exploring how God is reshaping the church. And I just want, Dave and Leslie not here today, the last day of their holiday, but I just want to commend you, church, for the way that you have welcomed, you've loved, you've received them over many months now. And it's been a real joy and pleasure, something to Corinne and I, just to see the way that you've received them. And we've been really happy with your delight and your grace for them. And so thank you for the way you've done that. And because as you've received them, it's enabled a reshaping of the team, which is still evolving. But we've just enjoyed the grace of God. And so you see me here some weeks. Typically, I aim to be here 2 Sundays a month. Although April, other than next week, is all the month, so it's 5 Sundays. But then other Sundays I'm out, sometimes in Woodside Church in Bedford, whereas the other week we were recognising some new elders. And I dip in around. Yeah, last Sunday I was here in the morning, went down to Bishop Stortford, said hello to Mum, Mother's Day. That was a surprise. And I went to Colchester, where they were setting in some other elders, 4 elders in a new church plant. So I was there, and it's great. The day before that I'd been in Reading, where we're stirring up a prophetic team, and seeing that come together. And so it's good. I get around a little bit, often in the week, quite a few miles. And heart for Turkey, as you know. I just want to pray for Mikhail. He's a dear friend from Yalova city in Turkey, but he's been travelling into another Middle Eastern nation, and it's been a little bit uncomfortable this week. And someone's car was firebombed, so I just want to pray for him. And another Middle East, I'm just aware I'm on tape, so another Middle Eastern nation where some believers, so it's illegal to be a follower of Christ, so they've come out, they've been to Turkey, they've got trained up, but as they've gone back, they've got arrested at the border, and everything confiscated and told, you must hand over your passports, you are not to leave the country again. And we just rock up here, don't we? No passports, none of us are in fit. Father, we want to say thank you for the grace in the UK. Thank you for our freedom. Thank you for safety. But we pray, Lord, for brothers and sisters, Lord, the world over, who are persecuted, meeting in small groups today, 2s or 3s, that is church. Father, we pray for these folks arrested at the border. We pray for Mikhail, Lord, in the Middle East, that you give him safety. Our God, we pray for your gospel advance. Thank you that no political system, religious system, is able to stand against the name of Jesus. Thank you that you are advancing, you are saving, our God, and we give our lives to you, Jesus, the same. Amen. Thanks for joining me in that, and something we pray and carry. So I'm going to talk to you following, when we had Angela with us in February, I brought the prophetic word just about the army of bones and skeletons, and so it's from the Bible, a passage. And Dave said to me, why don't you preach on it? So I'm going to preach a prophecy, if you can understand that. So sometimes the way prophetic works for me, maybe for you, God speaks, and rather than it being a message that you give in a sentence, like Ginny did, actually God is with us and he's giving us his peace. Trust him. Sometimes you carry it. So some of you know it's like having an ache in your guts. And so the way it comes to me is I just feel a burden and an ache. And sometimes it leaves me for days, weeks, months. And I've been, some of this stuff, oh Lord, I've been aching. It's a bit like having bad indigestion. Sometimes it's just like, oh, it's a bit in your guts. Now, actually, there's a Bible passage where it talks about Jesus was moved to his guts. Okay, it said when he saw the crowds, he had compassion and his heart was moved. The actual Greek is his bowels. It was a groan. And Jesus, it talks, interceding us. And he was groaning. It wasn't a polite English. So sometimes the prophetic comes. And so I want to speak out a burden and an ache. And I want to encourage you. Sometimes you're aching for this nation, your nation, for your family. You think, I can't put it into words. That's prophetic too. It's an intercession before God. I ask God about, God, how come I feel like this aches? I go to bed with it. I wake up in the night with it. And actually, Adrian, it's part of your prophetic call. And then when we can receive something as a gift, oh, okay, that's how God's made me. And maybe I share that because maybe he's made you like that too. So I want to share this vision that a guy called Ezekiel has. If you've ever read some of the Old Testament, some of it is great. There's an ark and there's a flood. And that's a good story. As you get further on, you get to this guy called Ezekiel who has these visions. And we read him and think, God, this guy is crazy. He's out of his mind. He's lights and circles and all sorts of stuff floating around and visions of heaven. What does he mean? But he has this vision, which is a little bit clearer and to understand. And God takes him and puts him into a valley filled with dry bones. So it's Ezekiel 37. We'll hopefully read at the end. Perhaps Conor will remind me. But this is a vision that God gives him for his nation. Because this nation of Israel has been brought out by Moses. They were prospering in the land. But after a while, they thought, God, we're not going to follow you. We're going to follow other gods. God says, don't do that. I'm the God that has called you. I'm the God that's chosen you. But they kept pushing and pushing. And in the end, God said, okay, if you reject, then you step outside of my protection and grace. So they thought, stuff that, we want out. And as a result, they were invaded. And Ezekiel was taken over to Babylon, so further over Iran, Iraq side. He was taken away from Israel, his people. And God starts to give Ezekiel and other prophets a vision of what it could be, of restoration, of God bringing his people back. But not just for them, it's a vision of what God can do for us. Because what he's done for them and the people, God says, I'm going to do for the world. I'm going to restore life. So there's this vision he has of bones, a vision of skeletons or of a field. So just imagine a film and there's a war scene and as the camera pans around, there is just acres and acres of dead bodies. Okay, it's not just like one, two, but there is a pile. If you've seen Lion King, imagine the elephant's graveyard. Yeah, you've seen that, and where is it? Simba, he walks in, and there's all these dead skeletons of elephants. Okay, imagine now these bones are acres and acres of just white, bleached bones. Maybe there's a vulture circling, calling. All these bones are stripped. Imagine that. Okay, this isn't a dream of the sun shining and this. This is a dream of pain. There are acres and acres of bones. Imagine now you're in a culture that finds death and bones offensive. The way Middle Eastern people, when you die, to honor the dead, you bury them within 24 hours. Okay, so Islamic and Christian cultures, Middle East, you bury them very quick. You don't have dead bodies around, partly because of hygiene, but also it honors. So you want to do it very quick. So imagine the offense. Now you are in this vision filled with bones, which are unclean. Imagine, it's abhorrent to your culture. Maybe for us, okay, what would that be like? Something that is so obscene to you, there's this, God puts you in a vision to walk around. Oh, this is really offensive. This is what happened to Ezekiel. These bones are surrounding him. He knows if he touches a bone, he's unclean to God. He's called to God, but now he's with all this unclean stuff. And it says in Ezekiel that God led him to and fro. Can you see the bones, Ezekiel? Yeah, I can see the bones. Can you see the bones, Ezekiel? Yeah, I can see the bones. Can you see the bones, Ezekiel? Yeah, I can see the blessed bones. Can you see the bones? What's happening in Ezekiel? Something is growing in him. Something is growing and there's an ache. Yes, I can see the bones. Because what were the bones? They were once people. What were the people? They were once an army. What was the army? They were once the people of God. Do you see? Do you carry? Do you feel? Oh, I see it. It starts to get into Ezekiel's heart. Ezekiel's heart is carrying the pain. This valley of dry bones. Take a long look. Take a long look. Thousands, thousands of bones. I wonder what God is giving you a long look at. Oh, God. I think God this morning is going to release some intercession in our hearts. What is God giving you a long look at? And you're saying, yeah, I've seen enough. Let me just pray from the edge, from the distance. What if God has put you to work in a place of bones and says, do you see the bones? What if God's put you in a street? What if God's put you in a town and he says, do you see the bones? Do you see the bones? Yeah, I can see the bones. Let me pray, but let me get back home. Let me get to my Christian meeting. But do you see the bones, Ezekiel? What if God has put you in a place of bones because he's doing something in your heart to release and to see and to catch his heart? This is what happens with Ezekiel. Maybe that's why God. That's why God has put me there. It talks in Acts that I think Dave preached the other week. God has chosen the time, set the times and places for us, so that through that men are called out. God has put you in a place not just so you can earn some cash to pay the mortgage, to have the holiday, to get onto the site. God has put you to be his messenger, to be his prophet, to be his prayer carrier. There are people you sit next to that I will never meet, but they can read the Bible through your life. But what if, like Ezekiel, think, but they're bones, they're offensive to me. What if God gets you to sit next to someone that has a different sexuality to you? Could you see the bones? What if God sits you to someone who has different politics to you? What if God sits you to someone who has very different views about God? Do you see the bones? Do you see the bones? Ezekiel is walking up and down, seeing the bones. What if your classmates, who you talk about religion and Christianity, and they don't get it and they think you're a bit odd, what if they're the bones that God has put you because he wants to fulfill this vision? You see, the outflow of this vision later became an outpouring of life. But I think it starts with, do you see the bones? As I've carried around some stuff, burdens for churches and this place and that, I think, Lord, come on. As I carry in my heart prayer and an ache for the Middle East, maybe you too, another nation, other nations, other places, other peoples. Oh, God. It's like, do you see the bones? Oh, Lord, do it in us. God release prayer in this church, a prayer for the nations. We need to become familiar. What if the valley you're in is so that you get to be next to the bones? We think, Lord, get me out of this valley. What if it's there so you can identify with the bones? Oh God, I've thought it's all about me and get me out of here and make everything better. And you're just saying, do you see the bones? Do you see the bones? There was once a great people, now they're scattered. Remnants, a symbol of what was. Oh God, we walk around town. Do you see the churches? Some of the churches. You go to towns and you see the carpet warehouses or the chapels that are now houses. Oh, do you see the bones? Oh God, come and do it. This prophetic vision in Ezekiel then speaks life. You see, prophetic is not about describing what is. You can all do that. We can all look at our nation and think, we're in a pickle. You don't need to be prophetic for that. Prophetic calls out, this is what God says, and this is where God is calling to us. Prophetic calls us up. Prophetic calls us into. And God says, I'm calling you, I've loved you, I've known you. So when we release prophetic over people, we don't describe just where they're at. We say, this is what God calls you to. This is the gold in you. This is what God has said. It like lifts our heads. That's what prophecy does. And the prophecy that comes to Ezekiel begins to lift their heads. So he brings restoration. They knew they were bones. God said, you're an army. What can I declare in my workplace that calls people up? So the peck clean. So God says to him, can these bones live? Now, when God asks a question, it's not because he's stuck for an answer. He's like drawing in Ezekiel. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel very wisely says, you're God, you know. And good answer, Ezekiel. It's like God is inviting him. What question is God asking you? Really, it's he's looking to involve you in the answer. It's not because he's stuck. You think, God, it's like you're calling me, but it's not quite complete. It's like a question. Lord, you're speaking to me. God's looking for connection, much more than an answer. He's looking for a connection with your heart. Will you carry it? Will you see the bones rather than the quick fix? Oh, God. God says to him, right then, we're on. Prophesy, speak to the bones, life. Speak to them, hear the word of the Lord. The sovereign Lord says, I'm going to make breath enter you, and I'm going to attach tendons to you, and I'm going to make flesh come upon you, and I'm going to cover you with skin, and I'm going to put breath on you, and you're going to come to life. Then you'll know that I'm God. Speak to the bones. Oh, the bone? I just like want to get away into my Christian meeting. I can't speak to the bones. I mean, bones, we know that ears have bones, but bones don't have ears. But when you speak God's words, bones hear. Oh God, let us see with faith the bones that we live, we work, we are surrounded by. They have ears because God has made ears in all of his creation to hear the Creator. And this creative power comes when he speaks God's word. Because it happens. Breath will enter. But notice it's God says, I will do. I will do it. I'm going to put skin on you. I'm going to put tendons on you. I'm going to fill you with breath. Friends, that's our authority, the word of God. Let's hear the word of life. God, what are you saying for my street, our community? As we begin to this journey of flowing out, the river that flows out of God into our town. God, what do you say? Give me ears to hear, because then we can speak what he's saying. You know, offices, schools, factories, whatever it is you work, the Bible says the language of God is faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. That's what the prophet is speaking. Faith. I'm going to enter you. I'm going to fill you. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to give you life again. I'm going to restore you. Because God has said, then Ezekiel can declare, God, what are you saying to our street, our town, that's filled with faith, hope, and love? Jeremiah 29 says this, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you. To which I've carried you. So like, you've carried us into exile. You've carried us into another nation that's a different God, it's godless. Pray for the peace and prosperity of that nation. Rather than, God, get us out of here. It was God. We will pray for the peace and prosperity of the city. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Pray for the peace and prosperity of this city, Kettering, Northamptonshire. Pray for the peace and prosperity. It's what the Bible calls us to do. As Gareth so excellently last week challenged us, so good, Gareth, last week, wasn't he? Just the way he challenged us and stretched our thinking. We thought, oh, yikes. There's just a whole world out there beyond what I'm thinking. And Gareth, you just do that so well with such grace and challenge. But God, now I begin to see there's difference. What do? I love them. I love these bones. I want to pray for a release for prophetic hearts in this church. Prophetic hearts that may never come to the front with a microphone. But actually may speak God's prophetic heart to on the street, in the school, in the office, in wherever it is. You see, as the Spirit comes on us, we get to speak God's creative life. I said a long time back, isn't it, the power of life and death is in the tongue? Well, why is that? I think part of that is because we're made in his image, and isn't the power of life and death in his words? So it's somehow imbued in humanity. There's life and death in our words. We can speak life in our town over the bones. I want to pray specifically for those who felt, okay, my voice has been strangled. Maybe you felt restricted. Maybe you felt limited. I can't speak. Maybe some of you even had dreams where you've like been choking, your throat's been gripped. You think, what's that all about? Just some bad nightmare? We have an enemy who wants to stifle the voice of God. And if the voice of God has been stifled in this church, I want to lay an axe to that this morning. So I'm going to ask you to do something really brave. And if you've ever felt restricted in speaking what you think are God's words in this church, I want to pray for you right now. I want to break off every sense of restriction, everything that's muzzled your mouth, everything that's been a choke around you. If you've had dreams when you felt being choked, I want you to stand as well. So any of us, maybe just one of us, but certainly me, would you just stand now? Because I want to break that off. You've ever felt limited, you've ever felt restricted, you found a choking, you found a snake around you, you felt gripped by fear, you felt shut down, you felt limited in the prophetic. Whether it's in the church meeting, another church, or outside, I can't speak, I feel like physically restricted. I want to pray for a release. I want to pray for a release and break anything where wrongful leadership has come in and put a lid on it. So I'm not talking sometimes as a host, we say, okay, we've not got time. And, you know, there's all sorts of stuff in that. But in a sense of a wrongful shutdown of the prophetic gift. Because we want to see in this church a pouring out of the gift of prophecy. We want to see prophecy that enriches worship and Sunday mornings and Mondays and Tuesdays and the rest of the week too. So, Father, I pray in your name that you cut loose, God, everything that binds prophetic voices, everything that comes against our throats, everything that would restrict chests, everything that would bring a tightness and a restriction of the flow of your word. Lord, whether it be a Sunday, Lord, or whether it be a weekday, God, I pray everything that comes and shuts down your voice through your people, oh God, I pray you would break that in Jesus' name. And I say, chains, snakes, restriction, be broken in Jesus' name. And I declare the cross of Jesus, Lord, over every voice. Lord, anything that is an open door, anything that's been limited us, Lord, anything that has come and has cut off the voice of the prophets, I come against in Jesus' name. So let there be life and let there be a flow of prophecy and prophets in this church. Oh God, open door. We're a prophetic people. Okay, we're an evangelistic pastor and all the rest, but we're a prophetic people filled with the breath of God. So I just pray in Jesus' name, set voices free. I want to pray, ladies, whether you're sat down or stood up, if you've ever felt a lie, because it's not true, I can't speak because I'm a woman, that I want to break that. Okay, so if you're a lady, whether you're stood up or sat down, guys, you want to sit down, I want to pray for the ladies stood up. Any other ladies, you're sat down, but it's time to stand up. If you've ever felt, I can't speak because I'm a woman, okay, that thought has gone through your head. I want to pray for you. Anyone want to stand? We've been as a journey as a nation over a decade. I just want to commend ladies who hear and speak God's word. Whether it's again from the front is not the issue. The issue is feeling restricted. And we don't want any male or female restricted in voice because you're female or because you're male. See, God, we want all the riches. We celebrated mothers last week, Lord. We want the voice of feminine grace as much as the masculine, God, because you carry both. So I pray, Lord, again in open door, you release women in every aspect of grace that's upon them. Jesus, let your freedom come. Cultural freedom. I want to give you permission, ladies, to explore what it means to be a follower of Christ. Not in an English culture, or Ghanaian, or whatever it is, but in the kingdom of heaven culture. What does it look like? Jesus. Amen. Do you want to take your seat? So he prophesied, and there was a rattling, a noise, and the bones came together. And I looked. You bet I looked. Imagine being in this field and this valley, and suddenly there's this clickety clickety, and all the bones, you know, like you're freaked out. He's never seen one of those sort of movies before, and all the bones are clickety coming together. He's like, yikes, this is like scary stuff. He looked, and then his flesh appearing in this vision. Think, God, this is gross. Can you imagine? It's this, these zombies are coming back to life. Skin's covered them, but there's no breath, so. Imagine the bones are being joined together. The anointed man spoke the anointed words and got the anointed result. God's result. Prophecy led to noise. And it was quite disturbing noise. The bones moved. And nobody's moving them. There's a spirit thing going on. Who's putting them together? God is. God is joining the bones. And look around. Look what God's doing in Open Door. He's putting bones together. Bones are finding other bones and they're getting connected. And who's doing it? God's doing it. Amen. We are so excited just seeing God growing, God rebuilding, God connecting. Friends, because God is doing it, we want to say, in the right sense, God, you have permission to move the bones around. And as I preached the other week, friends, you do not need permission to join bones with bones. You need the voice of God and need to be obedient to that. And you do not need permission. You do not need. We want to break that sense of, okay, I better ask. Now, asking for advice and wisdom is different from asking for permission. You understand that, okay? Well, asking for permission, is it all right? No, we don't need to ask that. But what about, I think God might be saying, that's a good question, because that we find wisdom amongst each other. But there's lots of freedom and possibility for joints and bones to get connected wrongly. What do we do as leaders? What do you do as leaders? Do we try and say, no, you've got to go with this one, because this is where you're going to fit best? Or do we say, I trust you to God? It's really important in this move as God grows us. And I thank God that God has given us a guy like Dave Nunn, in the sense of shaping us. Okay, we want to see God join us as he leads, rather than Dave, please join us. And we want to see that released across the church, a sense of the Spirit connecting. Because that's where you find life. And if any of you, again, want to break something, if any of you felt manipulated or plugged into something that you've done because you've been asked, even if I've asked or the elders have asked or someone's asked, you think, okay, that's what I need to do, and it's not what God has said, we want to break that, we want to confess that and see your life restored. I want to say to you this morning, friends, follow the Spirit's leading. You are disciples of Jesus Christ. Yeah, there is a sense, yeah, imitate me as I imitate him. But you're Christ's disciples. And friends, if God is joining you, I want to say get joined where he is joining you. And isn't it about time, if you are not in a joined relationship where there's life, break it. Break it. Say, okay, the time has come. I need to stop doing this because there's no life in it. Because where God joins, there'll be life. There'd be ligaments, there'd be fluidity. Where it feels tightness and restriction, well, that's because you like try and put a bone that doesn't fit. And so maybe it's time. I want to give permission. You find freedom to say, I cannot do this role anymore. And that's okay. And as I found freedom, whenever it was, 18 months ago, a year ago, stepping, I can't do this leading of the, it's the team that lead the church, but then there's a leader of I can't do that anymore, God. It just feels like, and lots of you saw it, and because you've said to me since, oh, you look so much happier. I do, because I feel like I'm in the right joint and in the right flow. And I'm jealous for that for each of us. And as God adds new people to the church, I want to say, Holy Spirit, join where you connect. Join where you connect. And maybe think, I'm not really part of this group. It doesn't really work for me. Well, find life. Find sheep, find grass. Find life where it flows for you. You don't need permission. Say, God, come and bubble up. You can see I feel really passionate about it. Pastors, I think sometimes we are too quick to try and fix, and we need to leave the Spirit, room for the Spirit of God to work and connect. Because otherwise we're in danger of meddling and putting joints together where God has never said. Now, there are things that put us out of joint. So I don't like them. I need to forgive them, but no, I can't. It costs too much. Jesus says, if you've got anything against your brother, or you know, you need to go to them. Okay? So there are times where we're not jointed, not because it's the Spirit, but because you've just got a stinking attitude. God, I need to get right. There are times because I feel hurt and I just want to be alone. Just let me be alone. God says, I'm knitting you together, Adrian. Yeah, but I want to be, God says, get knitted with that bone. What, that one? God's knitting together a body. And you see, if we try and do it, you end up with a body that's all deformed. But as the Spirit of God knows perfectly what he's doing. Okay, Lord. Have you said to him, Lord, it's okay for you to knit me wherever you join me? Have you given him permission? Because he's the one we do look to. Okay, God, however you want to join me, I'm okay with that. And we know that is because when we can let go and find peace. If we're fighting something, often it's not because God is in it. If we're trying to hold on to something, well, often it's because God is not in it. Okay, and when we know that is when we can be open-handed. And open-handed to others. Okay, I can make a decision myself, but could I be open to those I trust? What do you think about this connection? If I'm holding it, knowing that if they say no, I'm still going to do it anyway, that's not open-handed Spirit joining. Friends, God is bringing life and expansion into open door. And so we want to be hands-off. Holy Spirit, join us. What do you think, wise people, friends, and chatting around? But I want to be open-handed. I want to be open-handed. Do you want to be open-handed? Or are you going to hold on? No, God, this is where he's put me. God, we want to be loose. We're in a season of realignment. So I want to prophesy. I see you. We are in a realignment season. You can see that. God has been doing that around the church. I mean, it started in me, and that's fine. Okay, realigning you, Adrian. You're not playing to your strengths, so I'm going to realign you. God, that is fine. Thank you. And God will do it right across the church. He's bringing shape to a pile of bones. Are you okay with that? Allow yourself to be led. Be joined. Because a prophetic people are filled and joined by the Holy Spirit. Religion wants to organize. A religious spirit comes against us and tries to organize and tries to shape and dominate. Jesus always comes to serve and get under and loose and freedom. So much so that you think, Lord, really, is it that free? Religion ties down. It wants to give rules. Jesus always wants to leave the door open ridiculously wide. Think, this is crazy, Lord. That's like so liberal on grace. Jesus, here, that's me. Oh, God, help us. We want to be like that. In our leadership, is that the model that you bring? Or you try? Is it rules? Is it about, this is how we do it. This is how we've always done it. This is how we do it in my family. This is how we do it in our... Oh, no, Lord, what's your freedom? What's your freedom? And as Gareth brought a challenge last week, it gets all sorts of family and cultural stuff jumbled up in our heads. Oh God, I want to be free. Lead us on a journey. Let breath ended. The season of dry bones, some of you feel like dry bones, it's ended. And it ends as you're joined. And as you're joined, you're covered. Something of maturity. So I want to speak to dry bones here. Maybe you're looking in. Maybe you felt like I've been looking for God, looking for Jesus. And today you can be joined. First joined to him, then joined to others. Breath of God, enter us. There's new partnerships. I believe God is putting new partnerships across the church. And maybe they're ones that you've never thought before. Will you go with the flow? Okay, it's not going to be me or Tris or Dave organizing. I just feel a fresh ignition. I feel there's new partnership with me and this. And it's not just about Sundays or church. It's about your street or your town. I just love the stuff that God is doing across our church family. It's new partnerships. Friends, that's but Lord, how do you want to do it? Maybe he wants to breathe life on existing ones. So it's not just about dropping the old. But let's know the breath and the freedom of God. New partnerships. Isn't that exciting? God is leading new partnerships to impact Kettering and Corbyn. Leaders, will you hold things lightly? Let me appeal to you. Will you hold your position lightly? Because bones are coming together. So I'm really glad you're in here. I just feel like God wants to bring a season, and he's already started in the youth. So if you are in the youth team, or in the youth, because you're in your teens. Do you want to just stand? Because I want to pray. Okay, any in the youth team, helpers? Or you're in the youth themselves? Where's all the teens gone? Because they are, some are in here. Come on. Brilliant, okay? It's awesome. There's a whole bunch going to New Day. We celebrate that and the cake sale. Youth team, I want to commend Amy as she's beginning to shape and work. Just God's spirit on you, Amy. God's grace on you, Amy. And it's something that's been like a locked door in this church, of seeing youth come through and established in the church through their 20s. And so often, and I want to speak that as an end. You join me in praying for that. God, I want to see you people fulfilling, growing into all that God has said. I just want to speak life and momentum and grace over each of you. God's spirit is like a new day. A new day of momentum in the youth. I want to speak God's acceleration. And you guys, there's room and freedom in this church, not just for you to come, but why don't you lead us into the presence of God? Why don't you lead us into truth that God has written in your heart? Why don't you be aspiring? One day I want to be up here speaking God's word. One day I want to be leading a group. Well, let's start. Let's start. Why don't we believe God breaking out in your schools? Father, I just want to speak your blessing over the youth, the young people. Oh God, thank you for your grace. For your grace. Oh God, God, there's some quality leaders among you. Some quality leaders. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come. Let's just pray for the youth. It's like a key moment, a key in the door moment. God turning as a door opening. Youth, this is your church. We welcome you. We welcome you to Open Door. We welcome you as part of Open Door. Will you forgive us for the ways that sometimes we've modeled something that has not been inclusive and welcoming? You felt on the outside. Oh God, would you bring grace and restoration and healing? Father, we want to see all that you have for us in the teenager. Thank you for the team. Lord, grow the team. Lord, would you call other team leaders? Other team leaders to work with Amy. Bless you. Debbie, I want to pray for you. Thanks, guys. You want to sit down and pray for... Where's Debbie? Do you want to stand up, Debbie? Not really. Well, you don't have to. But what's there to lose? I've got some bits down here. Come on, Debbie. Let me give... What do I want to give you? So I feel, Debbie, like... Oh, I'll keep that for a minute. So I feel, Debbie, like... Because we know that you're a lady of prayer. Those that know you, so you don't need to be prophetic for that. But I feel like there's a warrior call to come from you for prayer in this church. And I want to give you space. So maybe in a minute I'm going to invite you to just lift up your sword arm. Space to bring breakthrough in prayer in this church. It's like there's a nurturing, there's a pregnancy of prayer in you, that prayer is birthed. And so this isn't just about you or training a few, this is you equipping a church to pray and bring breakthrough and bring an authority in prayer that we've not yet seen. We're happy to receive that. In a sense, God has, Jesus says, my house will be a prayer for all nations. That means praying for them, but also full of people from nations that are praying. House of prayer for all nations. Debbie, you've got something in that. And you happy to receive something of that? Yeah, we want to, friends, what I want to do is get behind a sense of God's nudge and say, Holy Spirit, would you, why don't we pray, God, would you come on Debbie and release a gift? Some of us have gifts that flow outside the church, and that's so good. But this one's a prayer in the church. of bubbling up and an acceleration, and want to break from you, Debbie, any restriction, any box, anything that has limited you from flowing in the woman call that you have of leading us into prayer. Anything. God, we pray. Lord, we pray a blessing on you and Pete. We pray a blessing in your marriage and your life. It's not just your time we want. Lord, we want the fulfillment of grace that's on Debbie's life, all of it. God, we pray for an outflow of intercession in this church through your grace on Debbie and others. God, we pray for an acceleration. Holy Spirit, why don't you just lift it out. Yeah, God, we pray, Lord, for authority. Thank you that authority comes from your call. What you call us to, Lord, you equip us. Like the prophet Ezekiel, I pray that the prophet that's in Debbie, Lord, comes out, Lord, in intercession and all your fullness. Oh, God. Father. This guy here. Thanks, Debbie. Can I pray? What's your name? Sorry.
Isaac.
I feel like you have... you got a scarf on. It's chilly in here, is it? That's fine. I feel like it's a scarf of authority. And I feel like there was a time in the Old Testament where Saul was hiding in the baskets and they were looking for him. Somewhere in 1 Samuel, where the kings, they wanted to anoint king, but he was hiding. And I feel like God said, you're a man with authority. I want to bring you out of hiding. And the season that you're in is like hiddenness. So it's not a sinful hiding, but it's a season now of profile. And hiddenness turns to profile. Hiddenness becomes receiving God's grace. It's like you can't keep it quiet anymore. So I don't know whether you're visiting, you're part of another church, or I think I might have said hello to you 1 week, but what is on you... it's important that you find the root, you find the base, whether that's this church or wherever it is, you're plugged in. But there's a hiddenness that needs to finish. And is it okay? I want to pray for a profile for you of God's word. It's like, we can share the sword around, can't we? It's like the word of God sharp in your mouth. Okay, the word of God is a teaching grace gift on your words. There is. And this light is being whipped out. It's light is being pulled out of your mouth. And I want to give it to you. And so there's a grace gift of God. As you find fellowship, as you're rooted in a body, as you find covenant connection, that you find also grace to speak the word of God. So I want to pray for our dear brother. God, I pray for your grace and your life. Jesus. I want to pray for the word of God to dwell richly and then overflow richly. Amen. Is that right? We'll chat at the end. Bless you. You keep that for a minute. I'm just aware of time and the kids. Oh, what are we going to do, Adrian? Okay. Okay, we need to read the passage. Let's read the passage, shall we? Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was on me, Ezekiel. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. He set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. Oh, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Oh, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I'll make breath into you. You will come to life. I'll attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you. And I'll cover you with skin. I'll put breath on you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, and this is how we're finished. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the sovereign Lord says, breath. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slains that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. If you'd like the breath of God to enter you, just stand up where you are. Whether you feel a bone, whether you feel a flesh on you, I want to prophesy over the church, this church, Open Door. I want to prophesy the breath of God come. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. This is what Adrian says, because I've got God's authority to do so. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain. Breathe into these marriages, Lord. Breathe into our singleness, Lord. Breathe into our homes. Breathe into our groups. Breathe into our lives, God. Come, breath of God, and breathe. Lord, breathe your life into joints, Lord, where something's not working, where it's like an unholy alliance, would you break? God, where there's just, it's not working, God, would you breathe fresh life that we find new connections? God, whether that's in Sunday, on Sundays, or in the week, God, we want to be joined to the people you're joined. We want to feel filled with life, with your breath. Come. Come, oh God, I pray, breathe on us. I want to pray fresh breath in the hub. Susie and the team, up Monday nights. Lord, I pray, fresh breath, enter the hub, oh God. Enter it. Lord, would you raise up team? Lord, would you bring a realignment in there? Would you bring an openness and a flow of your spirit? God, would you add team? Jesus, would you bring a kingdom shaking and breakthrough? Lord, in the hub, leadership, and then through the hub. God, I pray for your breath to enter. God, I ask you, we ask you, in Jesus' name, Lord, breathe on the slain that they may live. Lord, I pray. Lord, any of us, Lord, we feel dead on the inside. Maybe you feel dead. I just feel dead to God. I feel dead to hope. I've lost all hope. I want to speak life to a death spirit. I want to pray, any of you who've considered suicide, genuine, and I don't mean you've had a bad day. You've thought, today, shall I? You've toyed with it. Maybe you've searched on the internet. I don't know, all sorts of stuff. I want to pray for any spirit that has brought death. And I command you, in the name of Jesus, spirit of suicide, to go in Jesus' name. I command any spirit that has come choking literally our bodies and bringing a crushing, a sweet life in Jesus' name. Breath entered them. They came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. And I speak prophetic. We're an army, Open Door. We're an army of God, filled with the breath of God, the power of God filling us. What are we? We're just bones, but it's God's breath on us. It's as we join this army. Oh, we receive your breath. Oh, God, and we receive your scent. We become an army. It's not about gathering here, looking at our belly buttons, but it's about being sent into battle, marching with the breath of God. Open Door, be marchers this week. Can you hear the sound of the marching army? May you know marching grace in your workplace tomorrow, this afternoon, on your shift. May you know the marching of God in your schools, in your homes, because God is leading us. Father, we pray your grace on us. We receive your spirit. Amen. Hand to Gareth. There we are.
Yes, amen.